I'm wrestling, do not weep for me. Celebrate what I am. Celebrate what I have been. Celebrate what I represent. And celebrate the many ways I have impacted your life. I will survive this test as I have survived others. I am forever etched into the very fiber of all mankind. The world needs me. Time is on my side. History guarantees me. I am wrestling. Do not wait for me.
What's up, everyone? You're listening to episode number 88 of the T-Row and Funky Show, brought to you, as always, by Defend Soap. Defend what you have built in Dahlmer mats. We are without our sturdy, trusty co-host today. Tommy couldn't make it, but we do have a fantastic guest. So Chris Bono's with us. Chris, what's going on, man?
Hey, how you doing, man? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm having a pretty good day. I got a lot done. I got a fight coming up in a month, so I got my two workouts in. Did a few private lessons. I can't complain. It was a good day.
Yeah, that sounds good. That sounds good. Last fight. This is it for you?
This is it for me. You know, I always had to. I grew up reading a lot of books about athletes, and I always knew I didn't want to be the guy that hung on way too long, because there's so many stories like that. And so my original was 30 years old. And then, you know, when I was 30, I was still feeling pretty good, so I gave myself a few more years. But, man, I will tell you, I've been pretty open about this, Chris. I freaking hate training now. Like, I used to love it.
Really?
I hate it. I'm disciplined enough to do it, but I don't want to be there.
Yeah.
Did you ever get like that? Because you, I don't know how long you wrestled.
Yeah, I love it. I still love it. That's a problem. I love it now, but I'm too old to compete.
So do you love like coaching people and helping people, or do you specifically love like training yourself?
I love training myself.
Really? Wow.
I love it. I'm in there every morning. I'm in there every morning working out before the guys, and then, you know, putting them through their workout, and then it's hard. It's hard to sit there and coach them. And then not get a wrestling workout in. You know what I mean? I miss it.
Yeah, so for me, I mean, obviously, I don't know how it's going to feel once I'm done. I don't know if I'm going to have that miss it feeling. But for me, like, if I get to work out with one of my high school kids or coach them, I prefer that. I look forward to that. I enjoy that. But as far as myself, like, I'm ready. I'm calling
ready.
It a day.
That's good. Right off in the sunset, enjoy it, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I was actually just thinking about, I was watching Sam Stuhl, who I believe is a wrestler that you've recruited, and then I realized you've recruited two Wisconsin wrestlers this year, but oh, damn it all, there's rules. You can't comment on it, can you?
Right, not on ones that haven't signed yet.
Oh, God, that rule is so ridiculous. Okay, so anyways, you picked up a couple Wisconsin kids. That good for you. That's, you know, it's a good state. It's under recruited, so I'm happy. I can say that you did that. So anyways, the other thing I was thinking about, I wanted to bring up. You know, this is barely in my remembrance of wrestling, but this is kind of like when I really started following it. Was the match you had with Kerry Collette, and I don't know. You know, our younger listeners might not remember that, but I guess. Man, what was your mindset going into that? Because he was like this, I don't want to say mythic high school figure. And you went and you gave him his only non-win. It was a tie, right?
Yeah. What was it called? The Dapper Dan back
yep,
then?
The Dapper
Pittsburgh
Dan.
Pittsburgh Classic.
You're right.
Yeah, you know what? I can tell you, I grew up in Florida. So when I was in high school, I didn't really follow a whole bunch of other states. You know, there was no social media. There was no matches. I didn't know anything about anybody, and when they selected me to wrestle in it, it was like, all right, well, who are we wrestling? They're like, oh, it's Kerry Collette. He's never been beat and all that stuff, and I'm like, well, all right, let's go. I didn't know anything about him, to be completely honest with you.
No, so you just, no video, no nothing, went into the match dark?
I had one video, and it was when he did a backflip when someone had a leg, like a state tournament,
yep.
And I was like, uh-oh. You know what I mean? So that's all. That was all I had on him, and you know, it was, when I got there, it was even crazier because everybody was like, "Oh, here he's wearing his own singlet." All the, you know, guys on my team were talking about him. He didn't go on, like, you know, they bring you on a tour to see the city, He didn't come. He was working out with some college guy the day of the match, and I was like, "What's going on? You know, why is this guy special?" And I didn't know anything about him until it was all over with, and it was all blown out, you know, blown up.
Yeah, and so I'm guessing that most of the crowd was pretty shocked that he didn't get one over on you, because that's what they were all coming to see, right?
Yeah, we were the. It was crazy. It kind of worked out. The United States team hadn't won in I don't know how many years, and they put us at the very last match, and he had to pin me for the Pennsylvania team to win. And it was like, you know, going to be a storybook ending for him to ride out and go to college. So it was crazy. You know what it did, though? It got us. It made us into great friends. I can tell you that. You know, I don't know if you knew, but throughout the. You know, the next bunch of years, we trained together a whole bunch. You know, he would when he was at West Virginia and I was at Iowa State, I'd go out there and train, and he'd come to Iowa State. Yeah, we trained a whole bunch together, stayed at each other's houses, you know, and we did all that. And then, over the course of whatever, we've wrestled again in 2008 in the Olympic trials.
Really?
That was the only two times we ever wrestled, and it's kind of crazy. Because, you know, it was the 3-point or the 3-period thing. And I think he beat me the first period 2-2. I beat him 1-1 and then beat him 1-1. So we really tied, if you think about it, you know, two tie matches in terms of points. So it's pretty good.
It's interesting you say that because, you know, you guys are in fairly similar situations now where you're both head coaches at, say, smaller programs who are having a lot of success. I believe Kerry had his first All-American last year. You had two at South Dakota State. What has it been like going to South Dakota State? You know, I don't want to say they were nobody, but they definitely weren't on my map. And now you've built them into a very respectable program. I want to say, I should have my rankings up here, but I want to say you guys are top 15-ish preseason. Then you got three or four guys ranked really high. What's that process been like?
I'll tell you, the first couple of years, it was miserable. You know, we came in here, and it was a program that should have been dropped probably, but we've got one of the best wrestling athletic directors in the country.
What year was that, Chris? 4 years? 5 years?
Man, this is my sixth year.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, this is my sixth year. So, what year is it? 2012, I want to say? So 2012, and, you know, luckily they believed in wrestling here, and, you know, they were either going to go – you know, they're either going to drop it or go all in. And they went all in with it, thank goodness. And, you know, they gave us all the resources we need. And the first 2 years was really, really hard. I would look forward to practice more than I would a competition, you know. Because it was embarrassing of what with the product we had. But we had some guys that bought in, and we got some big time, you know, a couple of big recruits from South Dakota that changed the landscape a little bit. You know, with a little hard work and building it the right way and not taking any shortcuts just to, you know, try to win one duel or win for 1 year, it's really paid off. And we're having the time of our lives out here because it's just the community is backing us unbelievably. And now the administration is buying us even more. And, you know, we'll be able to get recruits in that we usually can't. And we're having a ball out here for sure.
Well, that's awesome. And, you know, you kind of talked about the community support. And one thing that I love that when I see you post on Twitter or wherever, because I think it's so important, but it's often neglected at a lot of levels, is, you know, you post about, say, the season ticket sales or some big event you guys are doing. And you really genuinely care because you realize it's important about the promotion of the sport, about the promotion of your team, about building up, about getting that community support. So I guess where did that start for you guys, and what point are you at now? How many damn season tickets did you sell already?
We're at 617 right now. We started selling tickets. We started selling season tickets 2 years ago, and we sold 99, and then we went last year to 198, and now we're at 617.
You went from 198 to 6. I mean, well, we're not even at season, so damn, season that's tickets. a big jump.
We averaged over 2,000 people a match selling 190, you know, season tickets. And so we're, you know, it's going to be crazy. Our match against Minnesota is the 17th. They're really ranked high. We got a bunch of Minnesota kids. They got a bunch. I think it'll be another 5,000 people. You know, our arena only holds about 5,500, so we'll sell it out. But, The promotions, man, you know what? I look at us wrestling coaches, and I feel like we're lazy on a whole scale. All we care about is getting kids better in wrestling, graduating them and all that, and that's why our sport suffers a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, if we put as much time into trying to get people in the stands, we think they're just going to show up because we know how great the sport is and we know how hard we work. And all that. But, you know, it's not true, man. I went out in the community and I got to know people and I took a vested interest in people and had lunch with people and said, hey, come give it a try. You'll love it. I promise you. They brought a friend. And next thing you know, there's four people then coming to a match and then they're buying season tickets. And, you know, I never said no my first 3 or 4 years here to a speaking obligation or having lunch with somebody or, you know, going to play golf with somebody or doing whatever. And once they got to know me and knew what we were doing, we were able to get some people in the stands. And I remember just a couple years ago, we set the all-time South Dakota State, you know, record with 1,019 people, you know, and people
got started somewhere,
crazy.
Right?
Now, yeah, and now, you know, now it's you know, people better buy their tickets because last year we didn't do reserved seating. And I'll never forget this when our athletic or was, one of our big administrators came over and he's like, shoot, I used to come to these matches 15 minutes early, get a good spot, and walk right in and get ready for the first match. I came 15 minutes early, I think it was before the Iowa State match, and he had to walk almost a mile and a half because that's where the next parking spot was, and it was like, you know, 4 degrees outside.
Damn.
And, you know, it was it's a big deal. Wrestling is really a big deal here, and people love what we're doing, and that's what makes it a special place.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So are you going to sell out the Minnesota match? Because you said 5,000 and 5,500.
We it seats 5,500. We had 4,400 in there for Iowa, and there was no room. So they were telling, we have chair backs in there, and then we have bleachers up high.
Okay.
And they were telling people, the announcers were telling people to scoot closer together so we could fit more people.
Wow.
So, I mean, I think if we had 5,000 people in there, there'd be standing room only around our upper level and all that stuff. And, yeah, it's going to be a big time. Minnesota will travel well. And like I said, there's some great matchups. And
you're stealing some of the recruits. I mean, you can't talk about that. But, I mean, I think you got two guys that pretty much every college in the country, but they're from Minnesota, so that Minnesota wanted. So now you're going in there and you're stealing their recruits too.
Yeah, you know, they're getting their fair share. I wish they weren't. They're doing a great job. But, yeah, we're making our living in Minnesota, man. Pinnacle with Lawrence and Paulson. You know, we were just there last night. Coach Reader and I were just up there last night. And it's amazing. First of all, we love the mentality of the kids that come out of that program, you know, being trained by Jared and Brandon. So when they get into a room, they're not taking a whole – year and a half to understand just the mentality and the work ethic and, you know, what it takes to be successful at Division I level. So it's great to go up there and really, you know, one-stop shop. You know, we can go to the practice and see 100 kids in one night.
Yeah,
it's awesome. They're doing a great
right
job.
Yeah, and so, you know, one other guy I guess we can talk about for sure would be, I'm on your website. First of all, your roster is gigantic. What do you got, like 40 guys on your team or something?
Yeah, 37 guys right now.
Damn, wow. So now I'm scrolling through. I just saw an interesting name. A big pickup for you guys was Kevin Vaux. He was originally slated to go to Boise State. Man, he's a beast of a heavyweight, huh?
Oh, dude, he came in 317 pounds.
No. Oh, damn.
Yeah, 317.
Did you get him down to weight?
And he is, oh, yeah, he's certified. He certified yesterday. Yesterday was certification. I made them they had to make 10 pounds over last week. And I thought he was going to die a little bit, but he made it. And now he's down good. He's weighing out every day under the limit. But he is a great kid. We love him. He's going to be special. You know, he's you know, when he runs at you and decides to take an attack, it's 300 pounds coming at you, and he's an athlete. He can move real well. I think he's going to be real special for us, for sure.
Definitely. All right, so before I got my ADD kicked in and I got distracted on Kevin Vaux, Seth Gross is the guy I want to talk about. Obviously, he's a Minnesota kid, but he went to Iowa first. You know, obviously had the issues there. Came up at South Dakota State, had a decent year as a freshman, 141, but then dropped to 133. Just, I mean, was just lights out all year, all the way to the national finals. You know, he's kind of been, I don't want to say the leader of the charge for your program, but kind of the leader of the charge. You know, what's it like having him around, and what do you expect out of him this year?
Yeah, first off, he's a great kid. You know what I mean? He's somebody that when you think about, hey, who first of all, you know, we love him as a person. But in the wrestling room, he's special. You know, he's just watching him wrestle, you don't even say anything. You know what I mean? You sit back and really observe it. Yep. It's like watching art. It's like watching somebody paint a picture, just watching them. You know, I know every time someone had my leg and I tried to roll underneath them, I was lost. I didn't know where to turn, right or left. This guy knows exactly which way to turn, exactly how to, you know, he's scrambling for points, not for stalemate. And he's just special. And you know what? He's really, I love what he's done in the last, you know, over the summer. He's really taken a leadership role, which he didn't last year, in helping these young kids. You know what I mean? If he's drilling with them,
that's super
all about
important.
Seth. Yep, it was all about Seth. It was all about Seth, which is fine. That's, you know, my job is to get to develop these guys. But you know, now I see him stopping somebody when we're drilling and being like, listen, this, you're not doing this, this, and this, or this, this, and this. And, you know, it really is it's really encouraging to see that role. And also, but something's great is he is just a student of the game. He knows every wrestler from, you know, the 1970s to current, whatever country it is. He knows what their best move is. And that's I love it, because that's what I like doing too. And, you know, he knows all the rules before I do. Hey, you know, we don't have to shave this year. I'm like, what are you talking about? You know what I mean?
And so what's Seth's take on the new scrambling rule?
Oh, he loves it. I'm not gonna give too much away right now. But
well, I gotta think he's just gonna tilt people and go. They're gonna go caution 1, 2, 3, and they're gonna give him the takedown.
Yeah. Well, he's already manipulated the rule.
This is what I thought. I knew, you know, like you said, he's a student of the sport, and that's what I said. These guys who are students of the sport, these guys who are geniuses, can think through situations. Are going to find ways to manipulate this rule to benefit them. I think a lot of the non-scramblers or people who didn't like scrambling thought, hey, this rule is going to stop scramblers. But really what it does is it enables a kid for like Seth, and you're just telling me that it's true, but it enables a kid like Seth to be creative and have more unique ways to score points than he had before.
And he's like, it's so easy. You know what I mean?
Yes.
He's telling me how easy it is. He's like, I don't even have to get control anymore. You know, I mean, even you know, like you said, when they get on his legs and those little tilts he does, and he can hold. I mean, there's times he holds me there for 20 seconds. You know what I mean?
Oh,
and you can't get off, and you know, I mean, even stuff like when you're, you know, how about this one when you know, a front headlock and he head pinches you and holds you there.
I did not even think about that as an application of the rule. That is. Yeah, I was actually wrestling with that. I was wrestling with one of my kids. But he's a two-time national champ at UW Parkside Division II, and we were wrestling yesterday, and I got in a couple situations where he, like, scissored my upper body, and I was like, shit, I can't move. Like, 1, 2, 3, that's a takedown, you know? And, like, I didn't get held there forever, but it was long enough where it was probably 4 seconds where he definitely would have got the takedown where he wouldn't have before, you know?
Yep, so it's... I like it. You know what I mean? I like it because there's going to be more points on the board, which is going to make people open up. You know what I mean? You know, if you're losing 2-0 and then you're back on your feet, you know, because you can scramble out and it's an escape. It's 2-1 and, you know, now it's not 0-0. At least now somebody's got to start wrestling to win.
Yeah, I think what you're going to have to do, though, this is my advice to you. I think you have to take like snapshots of Seth's moves, put them in a booklet format, And then send that to the refs, because the one thing that I'm worried about, me and Nick were talking about this yesterday, there's a handful of situations where it's like, who's holding who on their back?
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Like, there was a couple situations where once we started talking about, I got like a freestyle chest wrap type situation, and I kind of dumped him over, but he still had my leg. So it's like, okay, is the ref going to think he has my leg and he's holding me? Or is the ref going to say, oh, this guy's got the chest wrap, he's holding him, you know?
Yep. I think it's crazy. These referees have too much going on.
Yeah. That's the one that worries me, is the refs not being educated. So you're gonna make a flip book of Seth Gross exclusive
that's
special
gonna, that's
moves.
Good. That's a great idea. Mike Allen's about to get that email in a couple of days, that's for sure.
So Seth does this, this, and this. So just make sure you get ready for it.
Yep.
Nice. All right, so let's talk about the rest of the team. You guys are ranked top 15. I just looked up. Now, obviously, Seth is ranked number two or number one. Number one.
He's one.
Number one. And you have four other ranked guys. Let's talk about those guys. Knock them off for me.
Our 57-pounder, Luke Zilberberg. He was at 65 last year, went 2-2 at the NCAAs, and he's going down to 57, was at 65 last year, beat a lot of good kids, a lot of ranked guys at the weight class. And then Daniel Lewis, he drew Daniel Lewis in the first round of the NCAAs. And I think after wrestling him, he realized he's a 57-pounder. But he's going to be a force. Yeah, he's going to be a force, the force to reckon with at 57. I think he's ranked like 18th to 20th. But we just looked up his schedule and who he's going to be wrestling. He's got a lot of opportunities right off the bat. You know, I think the short kid from Minnesota is ranked in the top 10. Yeah. Arizona State, we hit them in November. Their kid's ranked pretty high. You know, it's going to be he's going to make it or break it on his own wrestling ranked guys throughout the year. Real good kid, senior. Started off at 141, has wrestled, you know, like I said, all the way up to 65 throughout his career, and he's going to be a good one. Then our other guys, David Kocher, 174, I think he's like 12, 13, 14. He had Mark Hall in the first round against his, which was a total.
It was an awesome match.
And I flipped a lid about the seeding thing because we had beaten Leland Weatherspoon twice. We had beaten the Oklahoma kid. We had beaten Crutchmer. And we were ranked like 12th all year long, and the seedings come out, we're not ranked, and we didn't get a seed.
Dang.
It was absolutely crazy. And all those guys, I think Weatherspoon got seeded, I'm not sure about him, but all these guys he beat were seeded. You know what I mean? And then we draw Hall first round.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it was a close match, and I thought we had a takedown with like 20 seconds left to go up by one. They don't do it to us, we review it, we lose, and then we do something crazy in the last 20 seconds and take it down. But he is the real deal. He can wrestle. He's long. He's strong. He's athletic. You know, and I think he's going to have a good chance to All-American for us, and he's a great kid. And our last guy's ranked is Nate Roeder. I think he's 8-9, somewhere in that range. Was up to 4th last year. Great kid. Been in the NCAAs 3 times. And, you know, he's actually been hurt every year he's gone there. It's been kind of really bad luck. So we're excited. We keep him healthy. He's beaten a lot of All-Americans. He beat the Nebraska kid last year, I forget his name.
Was pretty good. Studebaker.
He's beaten Studebaker. He beat Weigel last year in the dual meet, so he can wrestle. And if those guys all put it together with a couple other, you know, hopefully some surprises we have, we're looking at possibly a top 10 finish. You know, and that's what we're shooting for.
Nice. Hey, so one thing, and you know, I know this kind of stands for Kocher, and there was another Kocher last year also that graduated. And then Zilberberg, and then obviously Gross is. These guys are all a little bit funky. I think they ride legs on top. That's not necessarily your style. You know, is it as a coach? Is that something you're, you know? Are you looking for that scrambling style? Is that something you like now? Is that something you're teaching, or is it just you're just going to get the best guy and however they wrestle, they wrestle?
Yeah, it's a little bit of everything. I'm a big believer in scrambling, and I'm a big believer now in being able to wrestle on a top position.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a huge believer in being able to ride and turn the top position. And you know, now I've always been a believer of that because I wasn't that good on the bottom in college. You know what I mean? So I was always worried about someone that could ride. You know, it took me out of my game plan if somebody could ride me. You know, and so I'm a big believer. I really look to recruit those guys that are comfortable on top. You know, Alex Kocher, I don't think he got one takedown at the national tournament last year, and he was an All-American because of what he did on top. Because he could mat wrestle. He could reverse you, and then he could ride you, and he could turn you. And that was his game plan. You know, and so now I see that, and I see what Gross did. You know, Shop had a big influence on our program for 2 years and really reinforced to me about riding. You know, when I'm in the corner, you know, let him go, let's wrestle on our feet. He would, you know, give him 20 more seconds. He's close to doing this. We get a turn. You know what I mean? So,
yeah,
so I love
sure.
these guys now, man. Gross has made me a believer in being able to, if you have a game plan and you know what you're doing and you know how to, it's tough to wrestle against a guy that knows how to scramble. You know, not a guy that wants to scramble and hold on to you, but a guy that's his game plan. You get to his leg, he's going here. If your leg's here, he's grabbing this one. If it's not, you know, it's like what you do when you're, you know, on your feet. If the single leg's there, you shoot a single leg. You know, he has a great game plan of every situation. And, I'm a huge believer. I love it, you know. And now the rules, I think, are favoring these scramblers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'd love to get kids that can rest on top and scramble. We can teach them how to defend a single leg. We can teach them how to, you know, get to a single leg. But it is the art of scrambling is something that I believe is something that you have to have a philosophy and you have to learn, and it's hard to teach, you know. And I'm really understanding it a lot better late in my career, and I love it.
Yeah, man, that's awesome that, you know, you're keeping learning like this, and that's, you know, you can see it in your wrestlers. They're just kind of so open to wrestling in really every position, and I think that's fantastic. So let's talk about this. This is exciting news. You texted me about it. I don't know that it's public, but with the new weight classes, your assistant coach John Reeder is going to make a comeback. I want to say he hasn't wrestled in maybe 3 years. I remember there was a you're going to get heated right now, but there was the freaking match Ruth and him, where it was very 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 sketchy refereeing. And I don't think he's wrestled since then, has he?
Yeah, he wrestled in the Olympic trials next year.
Okay.
And he didn't really have a great Olympic trials either. So he's a little banged up. And you know what? To be honest with you, he wasn't even weighing what the weight class was.
Yeah, what
was it? 86 kilos or whatever it was. Yeah, he wasn't even weighing 189 pounds ever. You know, and so he always felt a little mentally, a little disadvantaged. Now the weight class is, it's 79 kilos, now 174 pounds, and the dude's an animal. You should see him. He's already touched down to 172 after a workout. He's 2 pounds under. He is ready to go, and he's hungrier than ever. And, you know, it's going to be fun to see him really, really get back to the weight class he should be in and competing against guys that, you know, are not, you know, 15, 20 pounds bigger than him. Plus, here's the best thing, Ben. It's a 2-day weigh-in, and I've never met anybody in my life that is more disciplined than John Reeder.
Really?
So yeah, in my
that's,
life,
that's
in
saying
my life,
a lot.
Yes, in all aspects of his life, in being a father, in being a husband, in being a wrestling coach, in being a friend, and of course, in being in wrestling. This guy is the best guy I've ever been around in my life. I mean, he makes me a better person in all aspects. And now his discipline in his training, his discipline in his eating, his discipline, he is going to be feeling good on a 2-hour weigh-in at that weight class when I think these other guys are, you know, they think they're going to be able to cut weight, you know, be able to wrestle on that. They're going to be hurting. And this guy's going to be ready to go because of the way he lives his life and the way how important it is to him.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, I'm excited because that is, you know, I haven't wrestled in a while, but that's been the same, the relatively weight class. And it's so freaking stupid having a jump that goes from 163 to 189 pounds. I mean, that gap is so freaking large that, you know, I wasn't quite as big as you, but 63 was a huge sacrifice for me. And I never weighed 189. I just didn't get up that high. And so it's going to be interesting to see if some of the 74s decide to kind of go up, how many of the 86s come down, because, you know, that's going to create a new area. You know, Burles will probably stay down. And then, you know, maybe Cox is going to bump up. Maybe Dake is going to go up. We don't know. But it's going to be really interesting to see how it shakes out this fall or this winter when we start getting all these guys competing against each other.
Yep, it's going to be exciting. And this guy, you know, Reeder hasn't stopped training since the Olympic trials. You know, we talk about a guy that likes to train, you know, like we talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. He likes to train. You know, an example, too, was, you know, today was his off day. And he felt good. And he's like, hey, what are we going to practice? I said, oh, we're going to do 3 matches. He's like, I'm going to do 2 of them. I said, John, it's your off day. You know what I mean? I got to reel him back in.
Yeah, but
I gotta
reel him back in.
You know what I mean? But you know, but the way he trains and how hard he works, you know, and he's also, what also you don't know, a lot of people don't know about John is he guy sweats unbelievably. And it's been a problem for him, you know what I
really?
mean, in cramping and staying hydrated and, you know, recovery after, you know, I mean, we did a sweat test with him. We've got a great hospital around here.
What is a sweat test? I've never heard of this in my life.
You know, so what they did was they put all these electrodes on him, and they put all these things on. They monitor when he sweats, what his sweat rate is, what he's losing. I found this out. When you sweat, you know how people say you lose electrolytes, you lose this.
Sure.
Some people lose sodium. Some people lose potassium. Some people, you know, it is what it is. John Reeder lost 14.5 pounds in a 65-minute workout.
Stop!
Swear on my life.
14.5.
In shorts and a t-shirt. It was so bad.
No sweats.
All the stuff. No sweats.
How hot
it
was it?
It was so bad that, yeah, it was, you know, it was 80 degrees in our room, humid.
Okay. So it was nice,
you know, it was a hot wrestling room. And I swear to you that the guy in there was amazed because all the stuff was falling off of him, you know, like the wires or whatever,
yeah.
You know, because usually you do a sweat test on a treadmill in a, you know, in an 80 degree room or whatever. But they told him, listen to this stat, they told him he's losing so much sodium that he needs to drink 32 ounce Gatorades.
Wait,
to replace what he
32,
lost in that
32,
workout.
No, not 32, 32 ounces.
Yes, 32
Stop.
Ounce Gatorade.
You got to have that wrong.
No.
Chris, how could you even drink 32 of them?
No, you can't. That's what I'm saying. That's why it was so detrimental to him, was after a workout, he could never replace what he lost.
So how do you fix it?
So they this is crazy. This was when he was competing at 189, and so they he got hooked up with a salt company. This hospital got him hooked up with a company that gave him salt packets, and it really helped him. He didn't cramp up much anymore, but it was religious. It was like throughout the day he had to drink, you know, 3 salt packets every hour, and it was very so he didn't cramp up. And if you think about this, in a 1 day tournament, which he was doing. He would warm up, you know, he'd warm up, lose 3-4 pounds, maybe drink a pound of water before he wrestled. Then he wrestled a match, lost another 2-3 pounds, maybe got a pound of Gatorade in him, then he'd wrestle again. So throughout the course of a whole tournament, he's, you know what I mean? It's impossible for him to replace what he was losing because of how hard he sweats.
That's pretty fascinating. I would like to put Jaden Cox on the same test because he is, he sweats more than anyone I've ever been around. I've never heard 14.5 pounds in 65 minutes. That is like totally mind blowing.
It's amazing. So for him now, it's amazing. He's changed his diet. I think when he was up that weight, trying to keep all the weight on, the food he ate was not really good.
Sure,
now that he's brought his weight down and he's really leaned out, he eats unbelievably well. He hasn't cramped up one time, and he doesn't take any salt.
Wow. That's amazing. Fascinating.
Yep, it is. His body's fascinating. It is. It's I don't even like drilling with him or wrestling with him because my shoes
get
soaking
wet
in a 30-minute workout. Yeah, but he's got it under control, man. He's got it under control, and I'm fired up for him. He's a guy that deserves it. Every win he gets, the guy deserves it. He really does.
So you said something about the Sanford hospitals. They support you guys a lot, right?
South Dakota State. They support a lot. I know. They support, like, up at even at NDSU, they've got a lot of their buildings are named after Sanford, and they do a great. They really, really are generous, and they really take care of us. So it's a great between South Dakota State and Sanford. It's just a great relationship.
Nice. And so one last thing, I don't want to take too much of your night up, but you talked. You guys are getting a new wrestling complex. Let's hear about that.
Yeah, we've already got the renderings done. We're phase two of what we're doing right now. Phase one, basketball, is building a $15 million complex right off of our facility. They are digging November 1, and they should be done by October 1. And then we're phase two, so all we have to do is get approval from the Board of Regents in October. And once the money's raised, we're building the 12,000 square foot room, and then it's going to be connected to our team room, locker room complex, coaches' offices that are going to be like on, with a place for recruits to see through a window and look over on a second floor. It's going to be great. We're about one third of the way there already, raising the money, and I don't think we should have a problem getting to where we got to go. But it's a $3.8 million facility, and It's the last piece we need to really take this program, you know, to hopefully get in the top 10.
Nice. That's awesome. Okay. I said last thing, but here we're realizing. Give us one good, because these are my favorite, Bobby Douglas story before we get off.
Oh, shoot.
Because Bobby cracks me up. I mean, I've heard a lot of him from Coach Horton. Bobby's one of the most interesting people. I don't know, you're probably friends with him on Facebook. He goes through these phases where he'll post like 77 pictures of old wrestling brackets dual meets or whatever.
So I'll tell you one that just comes off the top of my head is he could never get anybody's name right. All right, so he used to call me Bomo, B-O-M-O, right? And he knew he was saying it wrong, but he couldn't get the name out. And then, you know, I got married, and my wife and I, we saw him, whatever. And he came up to her, and he wanted to say, you know, hey, Mrs. Bono. And he came out, and he just looked at her, and he's like, hey, Mrs. And he knew he was going to say it wrong. And he said, oh, shit, Bomo. You know, he couldn't get the right Bono out, right? And it was, my wife was like, what's going on with him? And then here's really even the better one. So he couldn't get my name right. We had Adam, you know Adam Berengowski?
I don't remember that
name. I don't know if you know that name. Adam Berengowski, he was on a couple of U.S. teams back in the day. We had Adam Berengowski as one of our coaches. We had an Adam Goncharowski on our team. And then we had a Mike Dombrowski on our team.
Bunch of Polacks.
And he tried to one time. He was yelling. He tried to get like Dombrowski to do something, and he was like, "Berengowski, you gotta grab the leg." And Adam Berengowski's like, "Coach, I'm over here getting ridden." And he's like, "Damn it, Goncharowski, you need to grab the leg over there." And he's like, "Coach, I'm Dombrowski." And he's like, "Oh, damn it, you know what I mean. And get the damn leg and take him down." You know. It was a whole year of that. He could never get those three guys right. But I could sit here for days and hours of with Bobby's stories about stuff like that. He's great. I go back to Ames 2-3 times a year. I'm actually going back Friday to watch that high school match, and I'll get together.
Oh, the Agony in Ames.
Yeah. I'm gonna go back Friday and watch that Saturday morning or Saturday afternoon, and then get together with him. I always enjoy it.
Nice.
But, another thing we got to talk about real quick.
Okay, whatever you want.
Christian Piles, and I know you deal with these flow guys. I want to let everybody know that I did whoop him in one-on-one basketball, and he's tweeting out now. He's coming up for the Minnesota duel, acting like he's going to be able to beat me in a basketball game.
So what's your go-to move?
Oh, I back him down. Right? I'm back to him. I back him down, sure. And then I just hit a fadeaway, left-handed fadeaway.
Left-handed.
That's it. Swish.
Boom. Every time.
And then I out-hustle him. After the score was like 4-1, he got tired. His glasses broke, and then he kind of gave up.
You broke him.
I broke him.
He was arguing the other day, him and Willie. Willie makes terrible arguments. I crushed him the other day on something. But he was making an argument with Willie that Christian and all the other ones were saying that, you know, mental toughness – kids do have the ability to get mentally tougher, and I know that's true because I've seen it happen with my own eyes. But so maybe Piles has worked on his mental toughness since last year, and so when he gets heated, he's not going to crack under the pressure.
Is it his technique, his mental toughness, or his conditioning that's going to get it propel him a win over Bono on November 17th when he comes up here for this Minnesota duel? We rematch.
Oh, that's going to be good. You have to at least get someone to throw up a tiny little clip of that on social media.
That's for sure. And I beat him in flip-flops. I had flip-flops on. So,
is there anything that he could beat you in? You can't think of anything.
Not athletic.
I bet he might know more names of wrestlers in the top 20 at all weights than you.
And I know what he can't do either is he doesn't know how to rank people. He never ranked a jackrabbit for like 5 years. I used to call him every Tuesday. I used to see him at tournaments. I'd yell at him every time. I'm like, dude, what do we got to do to get ranked? You know that we are Division I. You know what I mean? I used to jump him. But he's come around a little bit now.
Well, you got four in there. So that's a good start for this year. So I'm sure they're going to throw a few more in there for the Minnesota duel, hopefully.
Amen.
All right, Chris, that was a blast. I had fun. You got anything else to tell these guys before we hop off the air?
I'm good, man. Good luck. I always enjoy watching you fight, man. I try to watch them all. I've enjoyed you as a competitor. You're one hell of a competitor, and that's what I like about people. So good luck. End it on a good note, man, and,
yes, sir.
I look forward to it.
All right, thanks, Chris. Have a good night.
All right, buddy. Take care.
See ya. You are listening to the T. Rowan Fungi Show, and it is brought to you by Defense Soap. Defend what you've built. Tommy, I got to say, I tried these products. He shipped me a box. I love them. If you know me, you know I've had ringworm issues for a long time. So I'm looking forward to putting these in my repertoire and hoping the ringworm does not come back ever.
No doubt, Ben. And to top that off, the company was created by wrestlers. Guy Seiko wrestled at Cleveland State University. His son was an All-American in Virginia, so these people really get it. They know what the wrestling community needs.